So then it says that out of the different versions of self-grasping mind, depending on the kind of the subtlety, so one would be, in terms of the grossest one, would be that self-grasping mind, grasping at the self to be something eternal, unitary, and independent. So again, that position, that self-grasping mind of the self to be a unitary, permanent, and independent. So this kind of self-grasping not spontaneously arisen. Rather, this is something which is philosophically acquired self-grasping. As such, this should not be the ultimate root cause of all samsara. And next, those schools of thought, even among the Buddhist schools of thought, positing the Aliviyan as a self. So again, that self-grasping mind is not the spontaneously arisen self-grasping mind. Rather, it is something that they are impelled or they have been compelled to point to the Aliviyan or to the repository consciousness as the self. As such, again, this is philosophically acquired ignorance and not a spontaneously arisen ignorance. So anything, any kind of ignorance, as long as that is philosophically acquired and not spontaneously acquired or innately arisen ignorance, it can never be the ultimate root cause of all samsara. Any kind of ignorance, in order for that to be classified as the root cause of samsara, it must be something spontaneously arisen and something which has been commonly shared and commonly being present in the mind of all sentient beings, including the insects, animals, howling realms, and so forth. So, and then the next question is, since that according to this tenet, that both the kinds of the self-grasping mind, the self-grasping of the phenomena and the person both, are considered or are taken as the first link of the 12 links of dependent origination, in short, are both as the root cause of all samsara. So another question is, are they two different ignorances as to the root cause of samsara? So the answer is that no. Although these two are two different ignorances, and yet in terms of apprehension, they apprehend the same thing, that is the true or intrinsic existence, and they only differ in terms of the very basis upon which the intrinsicality is being apprehended by the two mistaken ignorances. It is because of this that this position or the opinion that both the self-grasping of phenomena and self-grasping of person are equally categorized as the root cause of all samsara is still tenable. Just as we had said, we had come across the Aryadeva's Pada Sansa, which says that just as all the senses, they are somehow based on the sense power of the body, so likewise all of the delusions, they are rooted to the self-grasping mind. As we said earlier, all delusions are rooted to the self-grasping mind or the ignorance apprehending the true existence. So in this relation, we should know about the two different levels of delusions. Delusions, the grosser level of delusions and the subtler levels of delusions. So basically, all those delusions which are primarily derived through the subtlest form of the subgrasping mind, they are classified as the subtler delusions. So, all delusions, they are somehow, whether directly or indirectly, related to or rooted to the subgrasping mind in the subtlest form, grasping at true existence. And then, in this relation, we also mentioned about the subtler and the grosser level of delusions. So the grosser levels of delusions, they are categorized as those delusions derived primarily from the ignorance grasping at autonomous substantial reality. So as opposed to the self-grasping of independent existence. And then, but at the same time, we have to know that even this ignorance, grasping at the autonomous essential reality, that also is rooted or originated from the self-grasping of independent existence. That way, we see that all those delusions, which are being identified as delusions by the lower schools other than Prasangika, so they are classified as the gross level of delusions. And all those delusions which they are unable to identify as delusions, and which only the Prasangika school of thought, a higher Buddhist school of thought, is able to identify as delusions, they are classified as the subtler forms of delusions. And in this relation, because of our understanding of the two kinds of delusions, the subtler and the grosser, we then this then leads us to the understanding of the grosser level of the truth of the cause of suffering and the subtler level of the truth of cause of suffering. So, because there are two levels of the truth of the origin of sufferings, so the resultant state, that is the truth of the suffering in itself, should be having two different levels, the subtler and the grosser level of the truth of sufferings. So since this being the case, so in terms of the third truth, the truth of the cessation of suffering at its causes, so again, we see that it has two different levels. So the one, the cessation of the grosser level of the delusions would be classified as the grosser level of the truth of cessation, and likewise the subtler level of the truth of cessation. And then in terms of the last truth, that is the truth of the path which leads to the cessation. So truth of the paths, which all the wisdom which realizes the subtlest of the emptiness as proposed by Prasangika Madhyamika would be classified as the subtler form of the truth of the path to the cessation, and whereas those paths as proposed by the lower schools of thought would be classified as the truth of the path or the grosser level of the truth of path. As such, even at the level of the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, we see that it can be done, it is found in two different forms, the subtler and the grosser. And then in terms of this position about the grosser and the subtler levels of the delusions, so those principles of thought or the tenets are propounding the idea of the existence of self-characteristics or inherent existence, so they would hardly be able to say that that mental attitude having the element of attraction towards those things which seems to be intrinsically existent or truly exist inherently existent, so they would hardly be able to say, classify that kind of mental attitude as affliction. It is because of this that affliction is classified as the subtler form of afflictions. So we have to be well aware of the fact that in terms of the delusions or afflictions, it is of two, the grosser and the subtler. And on that basis, when you speak of the Four Noble Truths, again, there are two levels, the grosser and the subtler. So other than the difference in terms of the subtlety of the delusions, but as to how the delusions arise and how the samsara is being evolved, so the way this school of thought and the lower schools of thought, they propose, just share in common. So, in order for someone who really desires or aspires to liberate oneself from samsara, so we now could well understand that one should have the understanding of selflessness in order to overcome the root cause of all these sufferings, that is, the self-grasping mind.
So,
So since that, this self-grasping mind is the root cause of all other delusions, which in turn leads to originating all the afflictive karmas. So, and then in turn giving rise to all the agony of the samsara. So we then see that we should overcome this ignorance. So I heard that there is one Sri Lankan. So there's one Sri Lankan monk who said that there's the mention of the deity yoga in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So although this is too good, but it has no capacity to free the beings from samsara. So I would very much kind of agree with him to some extent, because for someone who is totally ignorant about the very basis of the Guru Yoga, the Deity Yoga, as to how all these meditation on the Deity should come about through the wisdom of emptiness, how the Deity should arise from this very very wisdom of emptiness. So someone totally ignorant of this concept is very true with what this Sri Lankan monk has said. So because someone say that, I'm a tantric practitioner, and actually not knowing and not having any kind of any basis, the understanding that the daily yoga has to be based on the wisdom of emptiness, not knowing that, and then trying to employ the tantric practices in all the evil deeds, like simply trying to gather wealth for oneself, or try to combat some enemies and so forth. So actually, all these are perverted sort of the tantra. So it is because of this that I agree to some extent with that Sri Lankan monk. It is because of this that in order for one to alleviate all beings from samsara or suffering, it is indispensably required the understanding of emptiness of true existence, which is directly in opposition to the ignorance which gives rise to all other delusions and suffering. It's important to, as I said earlier, it is also important to understand the highest yoga tantra, the deity yoga, based on this concept that all this meditation, the deity yoga meditation, has to be done in relation to employing this very wisdom of emptiness, and then transforming that into this, transforming that, or from that arising yourself in the form of a deity. So this should be the basis. And there is, it is a kind of very common practice among the Chinese and Tibetan that they are very fond of coming or attending to the initiates and so forth, and not at all interested in listening to the commentaries on these main teachings. It is cited, as Lama Tsongkhapa cited, the 60 stanzas of Nagarjuna, which says that this ultimate wrong view is the root cause of all other delusions. And if you are able to eradicate this root wrong view, so all those other delusions or wrong views which are dependent, which rely on this ultimate wrong view, will as well be eradicated, will be subsided. So how to eradicate that root root delusion, or the root view, the root negative view? So it has to be done by way of really understanding the absence of the object as apprehended by that mistaken view. So how to really understand this absence of the object as apprehended by the self-grasping mind? It has to be done by way of understanding the concept of dependent origination. Again, how to understand this dependent origination? So for to do that, we have to understand as to how the dependent origination and independent origination, these two are two mutually exclusive phenomena. So if something qualifies the independent existence, it should necessarily be disqualified as dependent origination. And whereas if something is dependent origination, it should necessarily be empty of independent existence. So through understanding how these two are mutually exclusive phenomena, one then understands that everything is comes about through mere dependent origination. So then it is also cited a sutra which says that it is because that things and events, they arise from conditions that they don't arise as independently. So the absence of independent existence is the understanding of emptiness. And then it says that this understanding of dependent origination, this understanding of the emptiness of independent existence is the ultimate alertness.